You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Side Community News, and today we are getting going on the player season recaps for the guys who were not on the Pacers for the entire season. We just wrapped up everybody who played from wire to wire on the team, but there were six guys who did not spend the entire season on the Pacers roster. That would be Victor Oladipo, Caris LeVert, O'Shea Brissett, Jalen Lecque, Brian Bowen, and Amita Brima. Those last three guys were all on two-way or minimum deals and barely played for the team and will all be lumped into one show, and then Depot, O'Shea, and Caris will get their own show. Obviously, they had a big impact on the Pacers season. But the other three guys, Jalen Lecque, Brian Bone, and Amita Brima, will all be one segment of today's show. And I know that that sounds like something less interesting. Those guys had very little impact on the Pacers season. But how I'm going to do this is, beyond reviewing their season and what they did for the Pacers, I want to review what them being on the team shows us about the Pacers' strategy with team building, with fringe roster guys, and if those guys have a future on the Pacers. In one guy's case, that could be the case. But what it shows us about the Pacers' team building and how that could be a factor in the upcoming NBA draft, particularly with Bowen, I have some thoughts there. But let's start with Jalen Lecque, the guy who was not on a two-way deal. The other two guys were on a two-way deal. If you don't remember, Jalen Lecque was acquired last November in the TJ Leaf salary dump trade. The Pacers sent Leaf and a second rounder to the Oklahoma City Thunder to get Lecque. They saved about $3 million. It got him under the tax. Whoop-de-doo. Blah-de-blah. And Lecque, you know, look, we all knew that was a salary dump. The reasoning for that trade was obvious the second it was made. But he was also born in the year 2000, right? He was the first guy on the Pacers ever born in the year 2000, which is just crazy. So there was a small amount of like, okay, maybe this guy's got some upside, right? He was a four-star recruit before he did the whole like extra high school year thing before doing the NBA draft, right? So he never actually went to NC State. But like, you know, he showed off some stuff in high school that made teams think that he could be a good NBA player. And then he got a four-year deal from the Suns, right? So there was some value to him beyond the salary dump there. But I think he showed in the G League and in his rookie year with the Suns that he probably wasn't an NBA player. And with the Pacers, he only played in four games. He played a total of 12 minutes. He shot 1 for 9 from the field, missed his only three-point attempt, had five rebounds, two assists, no steals, no blocks, total of 5 points. So didn't do much in the NBA, didn't get many opportunities. I don't want to flame him for that, right? He didn't play much because he was frankly not that good, but also, you know, there were other guys on two-way deals they wanted to give minutes to: Cassius, Keelan, Edmund Sumner, Bowen. Those guys they wanted to give a lot of the backcourt minutes to when it came to garbage time. But the reason Lecque really has struggled to in his NBA career to be an NBA level player is even in the G League level he hasn't really popped, right? I actually watched a lot of the Manhunts this year, and he got outplayed by a lot of other guards on that team, including Naz Mitrulong, who was on the Pacers last year and was just with the G League team this year. Like, Naz was clearly better than Lecque in the G League bubble. Lecque has some nice bursts and can get by some guys, and his athleticism is crazy, but he shot under 40% from the field. He shot 26% from deep, right? He's not a good free throw shooter. Like, he's just not a shooter at all. He's basically just, can he be athletic enough to get to the rim and score? He's not that good of a passer, right? He played over 30 minutes a game in the G League bubble for the Mad Ants and only averaged about 3 assists per game. And he averaged 2.5 turnovers, right? So he is not a good passer, not good at setting up his teammates, mostly just a downhill driver, freak athlete. And him and Cassius were pretty good friends on the team this year. But, you know, he just isn't really that good of a basketball player. And he hasn't had a ton of opportunities to develop, you know, going straight from high schoolers to the pros. And then, you know, the G League kind of kicked his butt and he hasn't really developed his skills in his two stops in the NBA. So Lecque just wasn't that good for the Pacers this year, right? 14 games with the Mad Ants, 4 games with the pros. There's not a lot to talk about with him. He doesn't, you know, we break these into three segments usually, and we talk about skills, stats, and what's next. Well, Lecque's stats are not very good, and his skills are a freak athleticism driver who can't really do much else. His defense is really weak, right? There's a reason he can't get on the floor in the NBA and gets outplayed often in, by other G League guards. So he's not an NBA level player. And I don't know if he'll ever be on an NBA roster again. It's possible, but he got waived midseason, didn't get picked up by anybody. Maybe he'll be on a team next year. He's still super young, right? Remember, I said he was born in 2000, right? So he just turned 21 about a month ago. So, like, he could be a buy-low two-way guy for a team or something like that, but I'm imagining he'll probably have to do an overseas stint just because his NBA career has not really taken off in his 2 years. That said, what does Jalen Lecque tell us about the Pacers and their team building strategy? And I want to say not very much, right? And he's probably the guy that we learn the least from in terms of what the Pacers value, because he was mostly, again, acquired in a salary dump. That said, and we'll talk more about this with Bowen, you know, he was only 20 at the time of the trade. In fact, he might have been 19. Now, he's 20 at the time of the trade last year. And they kind of like the guys who were kind of highly recruited coming out of high school, and then something changes for them in that 1 year between high school and college. They typically value those guys in a high level, or at a high level, because, you know, at one point they were near the top of their peers in terms of that draft class. Maybe they can untap that potential in the NBA. We've seen that with Pritchard, with a few other guys, and we'll talk about Brian Bowen momentarily and how, you know, they really impact the Pacers team building future. But, you know, Lecque specifically, I think because he had a year in the NBA between that gap where he was a top 50 recruit before that year at Brewster Academy and then the NBA, they had a year gap where they could say, okay, you know, maybe that he's not actually a guy who, you know, had a bad year between high school and college. I think he was mostly just a salary dump, but they were searching for athleticism last summer. They really loved that about Cassius. They liked that they got it with him. So even though he didn't show basically anything in the pro level, only made one shot the whole season and didn't do much with the Mad Ants either, and is looking at an uphill battle to, you know, be in a meaningful position for an NBA team next year, he was exactly what the Pacers needed, and that they could get him for very cheap on a minimum in a salary dump situation. And you know what? It was an interesting 21-year-old buy-low candidate, but it didn't work out. The other two guys have much more meaningful thought on what they mean to the Pacers team building situation, I promise. But Jalen Lecque was on the full deal. He was waived to acquire O'Shea Brissett. That is the big thing for him, is that his roster spot was eventually O'Shea's. That is how he will be remembered for me, is that, you know, they cut bait with him to get – they cut bait with his fully guaranteed deal to get a much better contributor. And that in a COVID season with tight finances is a good move from this Pacers franchise. That's more how we're doing this. And we're doing the guys who started this on the roster before the guys who finished, right? So Lecque will come before O'Shea's season review. Bowen coming up in a second will come before Brima, and Vic will come before Karras. So that means, just chronologically, we have to do Brian Bowen the second next, who spent 2 years on the Pacers, really. So we'll talk about his time with the team and why he got cut and things like that. But first, we got to take a little break and talk about the great folks over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season in full swing. Games finally starting up again today. They're supposed to start yesterday, but rain got in the way. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA Finals, UFC, MMA action. It's all over there at betonline.ag. Game 5 of the Finals is up tomorrow night. Suns favored by 4 points over there. They also have full series odds up as well if you want to check those out. So go head over to the website, betonline.ag. Sign up today, and if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, when you sign up, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So that's betonline.ag. Sign up with that promo code Locked On, your online sportsbook experts. So Lecque, 1 year with the Pacers, only played 12 minutes. Not a ton to go off of in terms of stats and role and interest with the G League or anything. The other two guys have been with the Pacers for more seasons in Brima and Bowen. They have more impact, and I think they tell us a little bit more about either the team going forward or their strategy for building on the fringes. So Bowen, if you'll recall, was on a two-way contract 2 seasons in a row. He started the season on his second two-way after being pretty impressive in the G League his rookie year in the NBA in 2019-20. Right, Bowen averaged 16 points a game, shot all right from three, shot all right from the field in general, was an excellent rebounder for a guard. He's really tall for a ball handler. Looked like a guy with some potential. So this year, I was excited that he came back. I think he's talented. He's really interesting to talk to. So he comes back and doesn't really show a ton of growth, right? So with the Pacers, he played in six games his rookie year. He had that start against the Bulls when McDermott and Warren and Justin Holiday played, I think. But you know, they started him for a game. It was the last day of his two-way contract, and he did a nice job fitting in. This year, no starts, just six games. Ends up playing a total of 15 minutes. Makes one of his four shots, three rebounds, and then no other stats, right? So he scored 3 points. So his NBA life this year didn't really exist. He didn't play that much. He barely played more than Lequeu. In the G League, though, that's where, you know, he was really good as rookie year. I thought, okay, we'll see him do very well in the Gubble, and he'll pop off the page a little, show some of that growth. And he had a little bit more of a playmaking role this year, like expectation, than he did last year. So he was in a maybe miscast is the wrong word, but he was supposed to do stuff that he didn't do his rookie year. He was definitely supposed to pass more. He upped his assists for sure as a creator, right? Lequeu is not a creator for others, and Mitri Long kind of is, but not really, right? So they needed Brian Bowen to improve and a passer, and he did. He got, you know, he barely went up in minutes from his rookie season in the G League to this year, but he went up a full assist per game for the Mad Ants. His assist percentage got over 10 this year, so he was definitely a better playmaker for others. That said, when he was self-creating or finishing plays, he took a step back substantially. He was shooting really poorly down there. His three ball kind of went away, although I think he's a better shooter than the stats say. You know, his form's really good. He takes a lot of attempts. He's comfortable. His free throw percentage is good. He's a good shooter, and his rebounding stayed about the same, right? Still a crazy 7.6 per game from a guard. It is ridiculous. So Bowen has some offensive skills. He's very interesting. I kind of liked him as a guy that could keep trying to grow, given his unique path to the NBA and the fact that his, like, when he pops, when he's looking really good in the G League, he's a good player, right? He can glide past guys and has some good finishing abilities around the basket, is able, you know, to step out and knock down the three every so often. And he had a low usage rate this year, right? He mostly outrighted off the ball, but he's talented. I really enjoyed watching him play and grow a little bit, even though he looked like he took a step back as a play finisher in his second year, which is concerning because that's what they were hoping he could become. But then, you know, unfortunately for Bowen, his season ended mostly as a result of injuries, right? Goga, Miles, and Sabonis were all hurt at the same time, and Jakar was suspended, right? That was another factor that hurt Bowen. So they needed a center. They needed a guy who could soak up minutes. They cut him to bring in Brima in late March. I don't remember the exact date. There he was cut on April 23rd, late April. I was thinking of the second to last month of the season. I'm used to that being March. So, you know, it wasn't really like his fault that he wasn't on the team to finish the season, right? Injuries really derailed his opportunities because, you know, he is, again, I think he is talented and has some room to grow. And he actually fits into something I want to talk about with the Pacers player accumulation strategy at the back of their roster or with two-way contracts. Because remember, he was the 16th ranked recruit in his high school class back in 2017, right? So before he had some recruiting issues at South Carolina and Louisville, and he just had a lawsuit thrown out with Adidas where he, you know, there was some claims about his NBA career being messed up by that recruiting stuff. That's interesting to read up on, but you know, he was a really highly rated recruit before he had to go over to Australia to play for a year before the NBA. So this is someone, Brian Bowen is someone that I think reveals a lot about how Kevin Pritchard views the two-way contract slots or those fringe roster spots, right? Because, you know, it's less so the case with Sumner and Ekani Bogu, but I'm going to use them in this rant or discussion as well. So like with those late second round picks or undrafted free agents that KP has added as on two-way deals, the two-way contract becoming a thing coincided with his time running the team, or, you know, just adding those guys to the team in general, right? He likes guys who, for some reason or another, right, they have become undervalued from their perception, whether that's an injury, whether that's some sort of, you know, recruiting problem in Bowen's case, or whether they really stunk it up in their college year, but they were really good in high school, and they were near the top of their peers. KP seems to have some value on that potentially just being a down year, right? Sumner was hurt. He was projected to go be picked much higher. They bought a pick to pick him in the second round. They picked Ekani Bogu, who was projected very highly before an injury as well, in the second round. They picked up Bowen, who was a McDonald's All-American. They bring him in on a two-way deal to try to grow him from that point. Cassius Stanley was at one point rated a little higher in recruiting. You know, that they like that kind of pick or addition late, and I think Bowen kind of shows that, you know, that they put value in that. And what does that mean going forward? Well, Like, there's guys in this coming draft, like B.J. Boston, for example, from Kentucky. I think his name's Brandon. But, like, he was projected to be, like, a top 10 pick coming out of high school. He was awesome. He's this really tall shooting guard who, like, everybody thought could create his own shot a little better. And he really struggled at Kentucky. But, he is projected to be a second-round pick this year, right? And maybe he sneaks into the late first, but... You know, that's the kind of guy that KP likes. Like, he was rated very highly by his peers or near the top of his class coming out of high school and is now projected to go, like, in the 30s or 40s in this draft. Like, assuming KP's thoughts or thought process remain similar, it would not surprise me if they, you know, if the Pacers end up getting a pick in the late 20s or early 30s somehow, that, you know, they could pick B.J. Boston because they value guys like that. And to me... guys who go through the G League Ignite team are typically really high recruits who are looking to, you know, change the system up and get paid instead of going to college, right? We saw guys like Daishon Nix go through that process this year. Isaiah Todd went through the G League Ignite system. I think he was going to go to Michigan before he pivoted there. And those guys are interesting because, you know, sometimes they look good, sometimes they don't look so good playing for that Ignite team, but they're playing against legit NBA players, right? So their path is unique, and I wonder how that influences their value versus their peers. But it would not surprise me if the Pacers picked a guy off of the Ignite squad for, like, it seems like that would have been the perfect path for Bowen. Like, if his recruiting went off the rails, he could just go, okay, I'll go play. I'm a 5-star recruit or 4-star recruit. I don't remember what he was, but high, right? He was top 20 in his class. I'll go play for the Ignite team, right? So it wouldn't surprise me because of what we know about Bowen, both from his time with the Pacers. Like, they tried to give him a ton of opportunities with the Mad Ants, but they also played him a little bit and started him in an NBA game. Right, they wanted to develop him a little bit. They liked him. They literally brought him back and re-signed him another year. I think we've seen with him, because they added him and because of how they used him, that they like to value those guys who, you know, have fallen in their class in the 1 year out of high school. So, you know, those three guys, B.J. Boston, Daishon Nix, and Isaiah Todd, are the guys from the G League Ignite team or who fell really far that make some sense to me that fit that billing of guys that, you know, maybe KP pursues with his second rounder, or just in general, if he gets a late first, early second, that he pursues those guys because of their past. And that's what I think, where I think Bowen became more interesting to me when I was thinking about I wanted to discuss his season. But one more guy who is not as interesting for these player season reviews, understandably. So yeah, I know that these guys not playing as much means discussing them is not as interesting to you guys, but I want to give everybody their flowers and talk about what they did and didn't do. Let's do Amita Brima last. He did finish the season on the Pacers, and because of his contract, maybe we'll be back next year, but we got to break that down. First, though, I got to talk to you guys about Built Bar, because Built Bar is making the best tasting protein bars ever. I have tried many of their flavors. They are all delicious. They have so many delicious flavors, something for everybody. When you talk to Built Bar fans, there's some on Twitter, right? I've been tweeted at quite a bit from people telling me what their favorite flavors are. Mine, of course, is the double chocolate right now. I always flip-flop between a lot of the other chocolate-faced ones. The cookies and cream one's really good. The mint brownie one's really good. The double chocolate I had today was phenomenal. So I'm picking that right now. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box. They'll give you two of each of the 9 core flavors, and they have sometimes deals for other ones. But not only are Built Bars... really good and tasty, but they're healthy too, right? Most of them have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and healthy. Go to built.com today to check them out. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you check out. You'll get 15% off your order. Built Bar, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So that's a ringing endorsement. Use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. For those who are still here, who have stuck through the Jalen the Q and Brian Bowen season review portions of the Locked On Pacers podcast in the middle of the offseason, 3 weeks before free agency, thank you for being a loyal listener. Amita Brima is a little bit more interesting because he finished the season on the team and had some actually useful moments for the NBA team, as well as being pretty solid for the G League squad. And the Pacers are clearly a fan of him. So let's start by looking back at his season. Only played in 5 games for the Pro Club Pacers, and that was, if you'll recall, one of those games. I think they played Orlando. He was in the rotation, right? That's something that you could never say for the Q or Bowen, that they were ever in the Pacers. Well, this last season, Bowen obviously started that one game. But right, against Orlando that one time, Brima was in the rotation because, again, they had that one game where O'Shea and was the center with Jakar suspended and all three centers out. And they were like, okay, this is ridiculous. We can't play O'Shea Brissett 42 minutes at center. They bring in Brima. Then Samson comes back, but then Samson's in foul trouble. So Brima was literally in the rotation against that Magic team. Played for over 5 minutes, got a block. They did not get outscored with Amita Brima running the center position for 5 minutes. That's all they needed. Every other game he played was garbage time, right? He played the whole fourth quarter in their 57-point bludgeoning of the Thunder that he played at the tail end of two blowout losses to the Nets and Blazers, and he played at the tail end of that ugly, ugly loss to the Kings. But he was in the rotation once, so he had value in a win this season. That is rare for a two-way player. That alone probably makes him worth the two-way, even though he was only on the team for basically the last month of the season, from about April 24th through the play-in game. So he played in five games, totaled 29 minutes, actually shot 5 of 8 from the field, right? Had some nice dives to the basket and finishes, right? Didn't post up, didn't really dribble. He just was a roll guy or scooping up offensive rebounds guy. His thing is all defense, right? He's got good defensive positioning. He's got some crazy records at UConn for blocks. He had 5 blocks in his 29 minutes this season. That's an insane 14 block percentage. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, Miles Turner's is like in the 7s or 6s or 8s. It fluctuates around that, and that's like league leading. And Brima couldn't do that against starting quality NBA players, but like, he just swallows up shots. He is a ridiculous shot blocker and defender, and that's where a lot of his value comes and why I think he's like a fringe level NBA guy, because his defense is actually pretty good. And so to go back to the G League, right, I'm talking about his skills here. He was near the top of the G League in blocks, and he has been a lot, right? He played for the Austin Spurs from 2017 to 2019. He averaged 2.6 blocks per game his first year with them and 2.9 blocks per game his second season for them, and then for the Mad Ants this season. And by the way, this is in 23.5 minutes per game, so less than half the game Brian was playing in the G League. 2.6 blocks per game for the Mad Ants. He is a ridiculous, ridiculous blocks guy. He's got crazy long arms. He's 6'11", so he's really tall. So he is really a good defensive specialist. Good positioning, good recoveries, good leaping ability. Right, that, like, he is close to an NBA. He probably is, honestly, a mediocre NBA. I couldn't think of the right word there. NBA level defender at the center position, thanks to his skills and how he's grown throughout his career, and that is impressive. And that's why he got to this two-way deal in the first place, and why the Pacers have valued him so much in the past, right? They brought him in, remember, in 2019 on an Exhibit 10. They wanted him to play for the Mad Ants that year, but he tore his ACL. That actually really hurt that team. They could have used a center very badly. They brought him in last year into camp. He didn't end up playing in the preseason. Waived again. Finally got him with the Mad Ants, though, where he played 10 games. And their season really turned around when he showed up in the G League for them. So he was really important in those games when he returned to the Mad Ants. I think they finished like 6-4, 7-3. I can't remember when he was back, and he was a good finisher for them as well, right? And his 6 shots a game, he shot 57% true shooting percentage, over 63%. So he's an efficient guy. He doesn't, you know, he can't create his own shot, but he's efficient around the basket. Really good defender, right? He's a perfect two-way NBA player. He's extremely limited offensively. Like, he can't do anything besides stand around the basket and catch some lobs, but his defensive talents make him two-way contract quality, and the Pacers really liked him. Again, they brought him back in for 2 consecutive seasons. They let him play with the team in the preseason. They finally gave him the two-way, and he proved to be worth it. I think that he definitely proved to be worth it. And the reason he has an impact on the Pacers' future, or at least how we view their strategy, is two things. One, we know that they value defense. We always have known that, but he, I think, continues to exemplify that. They had Poitras on a two-way deal, like the first ever two-way deal they had. He's a pretty good defender for a low-level NBA player. Ben Moore was a pretty good defender for a low-level NBA player. Devon Reed, I mean, I could go through all their two-way guys, but he was also an okay defender for a low-level NBA guy. Edmund Sumner was a two-way guy. We all know he is a good defender, right? They kind of value defense for those spots, because if those guys have to play in a pinch, you know, that's important that they can at least hold their own on defense, and it's not just an obvious way for the team to get easy buckets. So going forward, I think Brima kind of tells us they prefer defense to offense with their two-way slots, just in terms of utility guys, right? When they go the youth route, there's a little bit of difference there. But the other thing that we know about Brima's future, or what he tells us about the Pacers, is his two-way deal he signed is actually 2 years in length, right? So there's a chance that if they don't waive him, he's just on the team next year. He gets the other two-way slot. Who knows who gets the first one, but there's a chance that he just gets one of the two-way slots and is back with the Pacers next year in camp and in the season. And that doesn't mean he'll be with the team the whole year, right? They cut Bowen midseason. It costs nothing to waive these two-way guys. They're just gone. They get their checks throughout the season, but they're just gone at that point. So the Mad Ants like him. He's been there 2 years in a row. The Pacers seem to value him as a two-way guy, and there's a chance he's back, right? We'll see what happens going into free agency. It'd be kind of a dick move by the Pacers to hold him through free agency and then cut him right after for someone else, because then he'd be out of opportunities. But I think we'll know kind of August 1st-ish if he'll be entering camp with the Pacers if they haven't cut him yet. But yeah, he signed a 2-year deal. So there's a chance to meet a Brian is on the team next year, right? So his future, I mean, I'm not thinking he'll ever be more than a two-way guy. He's already 27, and last year was his first year in the NBA. But, you know, he clearly has some value to them as a fourth center, and you don't need a fourth center when you're going to play Sabonis and Turner and Goga most of your time. But those guys have been injury prone, so you need a guy to soak up a few minutes every once in a while, and Brian can do that. So I think he tells us that they value defense with their veteran two-way guys that they sign, and he tells us in general that he might be on the team next year. So Amita Brima, interesting player. I'll be looking forward to seeing what he can do in future seasons if he is retained by the Pacers. But that is all for today's show. Fun Friday talking about the three guys with the least minutes on the Pacers this year by a mile. Combined, they only ended up playing like 50 minutes in total, right? Like Cassius Stanley played 93 and got a full show, right? These guys combined played basically half of the minutes he played. But they all provided something to the G League team, or in terms of trade value or a roster slot for O'Shea Brissett, or telling us something about how the Pacers think and how the Pacers operate. And I think that is very interesting. And I hope you guys did too. If you made it this far through the season review of these three guys, thank you very much. I really appreciate you listening and trying to learn more about Pacers basketball and why I really overanalyze things like end of roster guys. But thank you guys for listening. Next Monday, we'll be back with something much more exciting, previewing free agency for the Pacers at the power forward position. Everybody's been loving those positional free agency previews. Thank you very much. So thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.